Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jeffrey TV. Jeffrey TV Podcast.
Good morning, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. And it feels like it's been forever since I've done this. Over the last month or so, I really didn't have the inclination to output philosophy or dialogue or conversation with myself. I've been indulgent in me and myself and the deadly sins. I've watched my weight go from 205 to 219 and back down to 207 and back up to 219 over weekends. I can't characterize this time as being sad or unpleasant, but also can't. I don't see it as being as something outstanding or definitely not exciting. But the indulgences were deeply good. Severely, deeply good. I went into another realm of, I want to say reality, but that word may encompass way too much. It's a different realm of myself. How about that? A different area or perspective or vibe or energy of myself. I got stuff done. I got a lot done. I passed my Microsoft Word test. I've done big things in my apartment. Well, fairly big things. Getting it cleaned up, straightened out, technically. Cleaned out closets, threw away stuff. I've been keeping busy. I've been productive. And sometimes I found that in the past, when I was not indulging for like years and years and years, I got so much done. I traveled the world, literally, got a job, a challenging, good job, in which I put more of myself into than I had in any employment I've ever had. Of course, I'm getting paid the most. It's probably the best company I've ever worked for. Best location, everything. And I was focused. I was cranking. And then when I began to indulge again, certain parts of me that I have maybe lost touch with started to come back. One of them was rhythm. Or should I say, stretching, rhythm, the value or the impact music had on me. Of course, the eating a lot and just being batshit crazy about eating. I mean, I'm talking about getting up out of bed at 1:30 in the morning, going in the kitchen and not getting a snack, but not getting a dinner. somewhere in between a snack and a dinner, almost like a mini meal. Going back to bed and doing that, when I did that, it felt so good. Every time I would get up and do it, it would seem like it was the first time. Like I'm breaking the law for the first time. And I literally would giggle when I got out of bed, because I knew what I was about to do. And I knew how, quote unquote, wrong it was. So I'm getting out of bed, half naked, in the cold. My apartment, I don't know, it's drafty or something. So I know when I open up that bedroom door to go out to the kitchen, it's gonna be a little stimulating, to put it mildly. And still I do that, I'll go in there, I even put stuff in the microwave and get something to drink. And it was so deeply good. It was mind-boggling. And I knew that, you know, I knew Mr. Scale wasn't gonna like it. I knew I wasn't gonna like it. I knew when I woke up and got on that scale the next day, I knew what to expect. But I couldn't stop it. And again, during this time, there were parts of me and experience that I've had in the past that I forgot. And a lot of it was stretching, oh my God, stretching, and working my spine, and what I would like to call chakras, just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. I don't know if it is chakras or not, but just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, it's like I've kind of figured out, or I equate the stretching I do with my spine that has come naturally to me for decades, for years and years. And I can feel an energy in my body. And I just got back in all that. I got really back into music. Oh my God. The sound of the music, just mind blowing. In fact, I went to see the L.A. Maggots Band perform. And sure, it's been a while since I heard the music played that way. But it made me cry. That's where open or in touch, or whatever you want to call it, I am.
It's not that long.
Like, move over. That's how far it is. 6 feet. I like doing that, you know that. They just riding a lot looking. Move the fuck over. This guy too gets on my nerves. They started playing Cosmic Slop. It all started coming down on me and remembering and the music. That Pete Funk music played the way I like it and love it. By people who I collaborate with and know. We were doing it. And to be a part of it. I started crying. Tears started rolling down my face. There was no fighting it. Pain never makes me cry. But happiness does. And I found this out more and more and more. Should have went earlier. You're good. Why did I talk to her? I don't like her. And speaking of that, it wasn't this indulgent thing. It wasn't like, oh, I love you, I love you, I love the trees, I love this, I love that. Oh, everything is so beautiful, kumbaya. No, it wasn't that. No, 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 I'm not that. And I don't believe in that. But it was like getting reacquainted or meeting all over again some of the things that I just forgot, that I forgot I knew how to do or things that I have done. But as is my nature, as is my all or nothing nature, I overdid the indulging. It became too much. It became almost not a burden, but it weighed me down. It had effects. It was too much. I needed to back off. So I took another all or nothing approach to it. And I put it in check. And as I did, I've watched my energy soar. I've watched my productivity soar. Or should I say rise? No, soar. Yeah, productivity rising into more things and opened up. I'm coming out of that cloud. I don't want to say cloud because cloud almost sounds demeaning or negative. I'm coming out of that energy level. Being in there for a month, month or two, whatever, I was able to see things in a different perspective. And experience things at a different vibe and level. And I've said this before, but that's important. I'm usually just, you know, excited, highly excited, anticipating things, energy, just, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, we get up today. What are we going to do? Not that I'm not doing, no, in fact, during the indulging time, there were times where I woke up and I wasn't sick or nothing. I didn't feel bad or nothing. I just didn't feel like doing it. And by doing it, I mean work. Work is it. I lay there in the bed. I'm like, I can't answer these phones today. I just can't do it. I was calling off work every other week, which, you know, it's not a bad thing for me because I have a reputation that I've proven my skills and I keep my work performance at a certain level, blah, 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 blah. And I have the PTO, vacation time, pay time off, you know, a good rapport. And they'll let me know, hey, you know, what's up with you in these days? You know, they'll let me know before it gets out of hand. And for like 3 or 4 years, during the time when I wasn't indulging, I didn't miss a day. I didn't miss a day or wasn't late, not once. And I tell my supervisor about that. And I keep her aware. Every time I see a late thing on my report, I want to know why. It was electronic. Was it my fault? And she'll say something like, oh, it's okay if you're late a day or two. I'm like, no, it's not. Or she'll say something like, oh, you know, I passed my word expert test with a really low score, barely passing. I was like, oh, and I told her, and she was like, well, you know, seems like everybody does that. And I was like, I'm not everybody. And she laughed, but she understood what I meant. I hold myself to a higher standard, and I have no problem with separating my performance from everybody else. I have no problem. In fact, I hold myself to a higher standard and a higher regard or higher whatever. When I wake up in the morning, I expect to outperform everybody. And I know that outperforming everybody is an unrealistic expectation, but that's the baseline. Speaking of that, I was listening to a podcast. I'm not sure if it was Coleman Hughes or Sam Harris, two of which I really enjoy, along with Glenn Lowry. And in fact, Sam Harris and Coleman Hughes had a podcast together on Coleman's show about meditation and stuff like that, mindfulness and stuff like that. And these two aren't rainbowy and, you know, hippie or psych, you know, they did psychedelics and stuff, and they talk about MDA, but they talked about it scientifically in a more methodical, like almost scientific manner, and the effects and their experience. You know, they didn't want to keep it all. It wasn't all like, ooh. They tried to explain the same experiences that the ooh people have in terms that were more clinical. How about that? Or something? Okay. But I don't know if it was them or that, but one of the podcasts was saying that basically it's okay to believe a lie, and that's the way he worded it, probably for dramatic effects. He was like, it's okay to believe a lie. There you go. I was wondering where you were.
Morning.
I didn't see the dog. I was like, where?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. It's one time you get to run around.
Look at me talking to people. And people knowing me. Oh, and he says it's okay to believe a lie or a myth. And to, you know, to cut to the chase, if that myth is something like, I'm the greatest person in the world, or I can do anything. If you wake up in the morning believing that, because I mean, it is a lie. You can't do everything. There are physical limitations. And even I know that. But when I wake up in the morning, I still believe I can do anything and everything, because I believe the human spirit and human ingenuity and consciousness can figure out any fucking thing it wants to or needs to. And if it comes down to survival, you could put that in overdrive. And that's part of our evolution. And we needed that, in fact, to be here today. I've seen some people do some amazing, incredible stuff. I've seen people in my family or friends think or figure out things that I know they are incapable of under certain kinds of pressures or certain kinds of desires. I've even said it. I said, wow, look at you figuring shit out. I mean, because let's face it, some of us are more logical, some of us are more clinical. Some of us are more caring and more emotional. We all have different aspects of our thinking and our process and how we handle and do things. It could be maternal, it could be fraternal. And I say that meaning, I guess, male or female dominated philosophies and ways of getting things accomplished and taken care of. There's just different ways of handling things. There's just different ways of handling things. Some people excel at different things, and usually when I'm with people or something, we know that I'm the smart one. We know how I am, how I think. And they'll even say, oh, we already know what you think. Or, you know, or how I think. You already know how I think. You know, we understand that, oh, okay, you're good at that. I'm good at this. Like hosting. I've been around people who host And it's just, I try. I've seen people do it, so I know, you know, the mechanics of it. And hell, even if I didn't, I know how to Google. But it's not in me. And I'm not fully experienced at it. Some of these people are experts. You go to their house, and they're having a get-together or something. You go, whoa! The hell is all this? But you enjoy it. I've learned to sit back and enjoy it and appreciate it and let them know that I appreciate it and know that I'm probably not capable or I do not desire to have the capability to be such a gracious, thoughtful, experienced host. Because who would have thought that putting candles in a big glass jar floating in water on the table would have an effect on the dinner and of the gathering. I saw that, I was like, oh, and the decoration. That still kind of blows my mind. My daughter had a party at her house. She had it all decorated and it just put you into a different place. When you walked in there, you went to a different place. And I think everybody did. And the behavior was different. It was still good, but we felt like it was special. That's what it is. That's what the fuck it is. It made it feel very special. I guess if you're hosting, the idea is to make it feel special. Now I get that. See, I just figured that out. Now I get it. So when people come to my house, I know I can or do stuff to make it feel special. When they walk in and they see I did this, or they see that on the wall, or they see this over here. Preparation. The preparation, that's what it is, okay. So anyway, he was saying that sometimes it's okay to believe a lie. If you wake up and that lie is I can do anything, I can accomplish anything. And that's how I wake up. I wake up. I just stopped to see if I woke up with that. I don't think I woke up with that when I was indulging. When I was deeply indulging, it's not that I didn't think I could do anything. It just wasn't forefront. If I would have stopped and thought about it, I probably would have been like, oh yeah, whatever. I'll get to it next week or, oh yeah. If I wanted to make it happen, I could. Whatever, you know, blah, 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 no big deal. But then there's also some days when I wake up so energized and believing that I can do anything that Hey, there you are. Now I'm even talking to dogs. I wake up excited to the point to where, because I know I believe I can do anything, have anything that I want, accomplish anything that I want, to the point where it becomes a burden, a responsibility. It's like, Negro, you on this planet at this time right now, for so many more years, at this time right now, with all this capability you believe you have, all these resources you believe you have, all this, all that, what are you doing with it? Are you fully exploiting it? Because there's times in my life when I look back in hindsight and say, ooh, that was an opportunity. But also looking back, I see that I just wasn't ready for that opportunity. I was just totally just not ready. Didn't have the experience, the background, or maybe even the wherewithal or the confidence to pursue it and fully tear it apart. Because also I'm not lazy, but I like doing what I want to do. And I think I'm the smartest person in the world, or most usually the smartest person in the room, but I've never been a manager or been promoted or been pushed in positions that would challenge my abilities and capabilities within a said organization. But when it comes down to doing what I want to do for me, for Jeffrey TV or for PFunk1.com or whatever, woo, the magic happens. So at work now, maybe because I'm 58, 59 years old, I see these kids come in and they're kicking ass. I mean, they're motivated, they got energy, they're figuring stuff out. I mean, I can figure it out too. It's just that I'm not inclined to put my energy in that area. I just want to go to work. Even though I love this company and I worship it, it's the best company I ever worked for. If things go the way I want them to, I have a huge debt of gratitude. Well, I already have a huge debt of gratitude for the company I'm working for. But if I can retire from there, oh my God. If I can keep going like this and retire from there in 11 years, get full retirement, making the same money I'm making. Woo! If there is a Social Security left, I'm all up in it. And just from the Social Security, just from my projected Social Security, based on the economics that I see and the prices in the markets, I'll be able to live just on my Social Security in the right place. Hell, I think, yeah, it was a bunch. I think, I don't know if it was $2,700 or $3,400. It was one of those a month. And by I say live on, I mean cover expenses. I've lived on less than that before. So it's not about reverence for the company or being dedicated. It may be about keeping the best for myself. And I feel almost blasphemous for saying that in regards to this company I'm working for. I just don't want to even insinuate a little bit that this place isn't worthy of me dedicating everything I got to it. But I do keep a piece of me back. And I pour it into Jeffrey TV and Jeffrey and doing stuff like this. So when I go to work, I'm no longer defined by work. And I don't know if that's the word to use, but I don't get a big kick out of I mean, my worth, I don't get my worth from my work performance or work or whatever, how to put it. I don't know how to put it, you know what I mean. I can just go to work, do what I gotta do. Now, let's not go overboard. And remember, there's ego involved. So I still gotta be in the top blah, blah, blah percent. I still gotta perform with the, you know, the upper echelon now. Let's keep it real. But to be that super, superstar like I had in the past, no, I don't need to do that. My mother just texted me. It popped up on the screen. You probably see me kind of go away there for a minute. Knocked off my train of thought completely. All right, that should wrap it up. 30 minutes. It's been a minute. I know y'all missed me, but I didn't miss y'all. I had no inclination to do this. Didn't even want to do it today. I just did it to see if I still could. I just did it to see what happened if I put on the mic and put the camera on the stick, what would come out of me. And as usual, I excel. I even forgot my outro. Swinging on y'all. My name is Jeffrey. Swinging, I ain't forget this part. Ooh, I ain't forget this part. Swinging on y'all two times. One for me, oops, for the funk. See, I'm completely messed up. And for all of y'all, and for everything that is ever and will exist in this universe and any other. Because that's the scope of wealth of my belief.